Prabhupada Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, 7th chapter, verses 31 to 35. Let's just repeat this first verse together. It has no purport, so no need to analyze it too much. No. So I'll repeat together. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. I forget everybody together. The unison. Oh. Yadunaivam Mahabhago Kamanyeva Smedasa. Krishna Sabhajita Praha Prashtaya Vananam Vijaya. Translation. The Lord Krishna continued, the intelligent King Yadu, always respectful to the Brahmins, waited with bowed head as the Brahmin, pleased with the king's attitude, began to reply. Now repeat this verse. Shivamana Uvacha Santi Me Guru Gorajan Bhavo Bhujupashita Yatu Buddhim Upadaya Mukto Tami Hatan Shinu Shivamana Uvacha Santi me gurago rajan bahavo bhujupashita yato buddhim upadaya mukto tamiha tanshinu. Shri Vamana Vacha Santi me guru gorajan
Bhavo bhujupashita Yato buddhim upadaya
Mukto tamiha tanshinu.
Shri Vamana Uvacha Santi me guru gorajan Mahavo Mudupashita Yukobo Dhinupadaya Mukutami Hatanshinu Shivana Vacha Santime Guru Raja Mahavo Mudupashita
Shri Vamana Uvacha Santi Me Guru Gorajan Mahavo Bhujupashita Vimupadaya Mukha Kamiya Kanshimu Shri Vana Uvacha Santime Guru Raja Brahmano Vacha. The Brahmana said, Santi, there are, me, my, Gurava, spiritual masters, Rajam, O King, Bahava, many, Buddhi, by my intelligence, Upashita, taken shelter of, Yata, from whom, Buddhim, intelligence, Upadaya, gaining, Mukta, liberated, Atami, I wander, Iha, in this world, Tan, them, Shinu, please hear. Translation and purport by the servants of Srila Prabhupada. The Brahmana said, my dear king, with my intelligence, I have taken shelter of many spiritual masters. Having gained transcendental understanding from them, I now wander about the earth in a liberated condition. Please listen as I describe them to you. Purport. The word Budyupashvita in this verse indicates that the Brahmana's spiritual masters did not directly speak to him. Instead, he learned from them by his intelligence. All living entities who are inimical to Lord Krishna glorify useless things and spend their lives trying to lord it over material objects they falsely worship. Thus, the conditioned souls try to increase their duration of life, as well as their fame and beauty, by means of mundane religiosity, economic development, and gross sense gratification. King Yadu noticed that the saintly Avadhuta did not behave like that. Therefore, the king was inquisitive to find out the actual situation of the Brahmana. In reply to the king, the saintly Brahmana states, I do not consider the 24 elements of the physical world as objects of my sense gratification, and therefore I don't consider accepting or rejecting them. Rather, I accept the material elements as my instructing spiritual masters. Thus, even though wandering throughout the material world, I am never bereft of service to the Guru. Taking shelter of steady intelligence, I travel about the earth, constantly engaged on the transcendental platform. By intelligence, I transcend useless desires. And my ultimate goal is the loving devotional service of the Lord. Now I shall explain to you about my 24 spiritual masters. And I was requested to speak on the next three verses, which, of course, there's not much. I mean, this is just the introduction to the 24 gurus, so we know who they are, so we can read these verses and then the translation purport. Prithivi vayurata shama pogna nishchandramam ravi kapoto jagarha sindhu atango madhukir jagja madhuha harino meena Pingala kurador baka Kumari Shatakrit Sarpa Urnana Bhisukhetshakrit Kete me guravo rajan chatur vinshati rashita shiksha vitti ekisana anyam shiksha mihatmana. Translation purport. O King, I have taken shelter of 24 gurus, who are the following: the earth, air, sky, water, fire, moon, sun, pigeon and python, the sea, moth, honeybee, elephant, and the honey thief, the deer, the fish, the prostitute Pingala, the Kurara bird, and the child, the young and the young girl, arrow maker, serpent, spider, and wasp. My dear King, by studying their activities, I have learned the science of the self. And purport, the wasp is known as Supekshakrit because it causes the insect that it kills to take a beautiful form in the next life. I guess that's starting from the end to the beginning, no? Om Jnanatvam Disyaganam Janan Sharakaya Chakshuru Militam Yenatasmai Sri Purupati Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupakatah Mahyam Tadati Svahapatam Tikam Nama Om Vishnu Padhaya Krishna Prashthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tamane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Paracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pasyatya Dushatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adyata Radha Shivashari Koda Bhakta Vinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Rama. So in reading this section, these verses, I wanted to speak about two things: the proper use of intelligence and improper use of intelligence. But first, just to, because we repeated these last three verses, the introduction to the 24 gurus, and actually there's a 25th guru, which is the material body. After he speaks on the 24 gurus, he says, my main guru, and that guru becomes heavier as time goes on, as any of us, many of us, are advanced in years, no? And you understand the guru of the body speaks more strongly as one gets a little older, no? So one doesn't hear that guru so well sometimes when you're young, no? Just the opposite, no? I think the guru is telling you just the opposite, no? Enjoy life. So, and just out of these 24 gurus, the pigeon, the moth, the elephant, the deer, the fish, the Kurara bird, the young girl, and the serpent teach us what to avoid. The honey bee, the honey thief, and Pingala teach us what to avoid and what to accept, and the rest teach us what to accept. Yeah. So you can remember that as you go through the next few weeks or however long it takes to go through the next few chapters. Mentions the wasp, just, it's interesting because the wasp teaches us that if we meditate, just like Srila Prabhupada in Bhagavad Gita gives the example of the moth. Of course, the moth, by meditating on the butterfly, the caterpillar, by meditating on the butterfly, becomes a butterfly. So that's a good meditation, you know. And this meditation, by meditating on the cause of death, one creates one's next body. No, otherwise, one continues in the cycle of birth and death. I guess that's why that was singled out in the purport as something to mention. So going back to the first verse we repeated, which has no purport, but interesting that it says, He was pleased. He replied because he was pleased. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to the Srirangam to see Ranganath, then while he was inside the temple, he met with a Brahmin. And that Brahmin was constantly chided and ridiculed by all the other Brahmins because he was repeating Bhagavad Gita and he couldn't pronounce it properly. And so he didn't pay attention to those Brahmins. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and he said, "Why aren't you pronouncing it properly?" "Well, I see," otherwise he was, but by feeling the question of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be sincere and not a ridicule, he felt the answer. He said, "Because my spiritual master told me to repeat it every day. So I read Bhagavad Gita every day, even though I can't pronounce it." And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, "Why are you crying? Why are profuse tears falling from your eyes?" And he said, "Because when I see the vision, I have the vision, when I'm hearing Bhagavad Gita of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the controller of the universe, and the creator of everything, the Supreme Lord has taken the position of the chariot driver. The Lord is so merciful, I cannot help but crying." And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "You are the best of all the Brahmins." So the point is that one is not very inspired to reply, and therefore Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, tadviti pratipahatena, that pratinipat, when one takes a humble position, then the person who's receiving the inquiry. It's interesting that Srila Prabhupada says in three different places that I remember that first there should be patipatena, then there should be sevaya, and then there can be prashna. Because without seva, then the questions will be meaningless. Anyone who listens to Srila Prabhupada has heard many times, he said, that is not a good question. No. Otherwise, there's no why reply to some encyclopedic question. No. And he says, don't waste the time of the guru. No. With useless questions. Do service, and then your questions will be meaningful. No. And of course, hearing and chanting is the seed process. But if hearing and chanting doesn't produce the desire to serve, then there's some, of course, hearing and chanting is service, but the desire to serve Krishna in a practical way with one's body, mind, and words, not just with the mind or not just with words. Just like one time, Srila Prabhupada was being picked up in Mayapur by the leaders, the main leaders in Mayapur. And they, on the way, they said, "Srila Prabhupada, there's one devotee in Mayapur, and he's only reading your books." And Prabhupada said, "Parikshit." No, I kind of wondered. "But Prabhupada, he's just reading, he's not doing any service." And Prabhupada said, "Hearing is not service? Parikshit Maharaj, he's hearing?" No. So then they said, "But yes, but Prabhupada, he's not doing any, but this is service," Prabhupada said. So they, a little frustrated, thinking now everybody's going to start reading and Prabhupada's authorized it, not going to get anything done, you know. So then after a few minutes, Prabhupada was chanting, then he said, "Of course, if he is reading, he will understand he must serve. Ajay Prabhupada." So of course, in the first canto of the Bhagavatam, 18th chapter, that Sutta Goswami says that, Shaunaka Rishi says, on behalf of the sages, that to Sutta, that we have the perfect element here, because we have Bhagavat Pradhana, You are Bhagavat Pradhana. You are a qualified speaker and Shushushaya. And every one of us is very anxious to hear. And therefore, this is the proper environment for Krishna Katha. No. Because if the people aren't anxious to hear, or if they're inquiring about useless subject matters, then what is the use of speaking? No. Better just to chant. No. And of course, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said we can preach and the walls can hear. But at least the walls will absorb the sound vibration. No. Whereas someone whose ears are closed due to improper use of intelligence, then they will not hear anything. They will, just like we just, yesterday was Ram Navami. And when we hear the story of Ram, we hear we get the example of the perfect non-hearer, Ravana. Everybody told him that kiss give Sita back. It was the wrong thing to do. Everybody, his brothers, his ministers, his grandfather, his grandmother, everybody told him. But because his intelligence was covered by lust, he couldn't hear. And therefore Arjuna asks Krishna in the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, why is it that even though I know I shouldn't do something, that I do it anyway? And then Krishna says, Kamesha Krodesha Rajaguna Sindhubhava. When there's Rajaguna, and of course that, when this mode of passion, which results in anger and frustration or greed, when that is present, then one becomes bewildered and one cannot hear, one cannot understand. So here we see, because a few verses back, Krishna brings up the Uddhava is begging Krishna, I want to surrender to you. But Krishna makes a very important point. He says, in order to surrender, if you want to surrender to me, then you have to use your intelligence, which is the first guru. Even before you accept the Sadguru, Tadvigiratam Sadgureva Bhikachet, Sadguru, that's the main guru, Diksha Guru, or it may be a Shiksha Guru who of course Srila Prabhupada emphasized that if Sadguru is one, whether he be Diksha Guru or he or she or it be Diksha Guru or Shiksha Guru, there can't be any difference. There may be a difference in details, and that, of course, that is our banner. Sometimes in dealing with different, very inspired devotees to make us understand things that other gurus have taught, But the devil is in the detail, And so those details may be very different, and we have our details from Srila Prabhupada how to carry out this movement, what it's meant for. I remember one purport Srila Prabhupada says in the Antilila. He says that the mission of this Krishna consciousness movement is to spread the holy name all over the world. In other words, that is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. His intimate purpose may be to experience the love of Srimati Radharani and the happiness she derives from that, the sweetness of that love and the happiness she derives from it. That may be the input. The mission is, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, which is where Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur took a little different direction from the time of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and made it the mission, a very specific mission to preach and to give Krishna consciousness. Of course, we can't get so absorbed in that mission that we don't nurture ourselves internally, bathing our consciousness in the nectar of the Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita. But that is the mission. So sometimes that detail is not there in other persons and their way of presenting Krishna consciousness. But still, we see, and therefore we respect all Vaishnavas, as the Skanda Purana emphasizes, That six things you shouldn't do and one thing you should do in relation to a Vaishnava. What you shouldn't do, kill a Vaishnava. That's not very good, no. Even the sheriff would agree with that. Skanda Purana on that one. No. Don't criticize them. Don't blaspheme them. No. Don't forget to offer obeisances to them. Don't become angry with them. And the positive one is, you should always be happy when you see a Vaishnava. If you're not happy, even though they may not, you know, have the same point of view as what's the most important thing to emphasize, we have to be happy when you see. Sometimes that's a test, you know. It's a great test. Some people are expert at being agents of tolerance and humility, of developing tolerance and humility. Some people have become maha daksha, you know, in improving one's tolerance and one's humility. But we still have to be happy, you know, to see all the Vaishnavas. So this, of course, this is something that we, when we hear about these 24 gurus and the Avadutta Brahmins, you know, he seems to be emphasizing, and if you take it wrongly, think, well, why do I need to get initiated? No, because, you know, just like, here's the Brahmin, no, and Krishna himself is saying, you got to use your intelligence, and here's the Brahmin, he doesn't say anything about his initiating spiritual master, no. So, I'm going to follow him, use my intelligence. But therefore, the purport here emphasizes that if we use our intelligence to analyze material nature, and we don't have the introduction by the guru, by taking shelter of the spiritual master, which Krishna himself says in Bhagavad Gita, which comes before Bhagavata, which comes before Uddhava Gita, you know, in the order of learning Krishna consciousness and absorbing and becoming adept in Krishna consciousness, then we become misguided. Now, of course, one may say that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu really, when Satyaraj Khan, he asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what about persons like myself who are absorbed in materialistic life? No, of course he was not absorbed in materialistic life. What about myself? How can I, become purified? How can I, And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Krishna Seva, Vaishnava Seva, Nirantara Koila, Krishna Nam Sankirtan. That you serve Krishna, you serve the Vaishnavas, and you always chant the holy name. So, then he asked, well, who is a Vaishnava? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives a very interesting answer. He says, anyone who has chanted the holy name once. So, of course, we can all say, wow, I'm well ahead of that. But then Srila Prabhupada qualifies that by saying, chanting the holy name without offenses. One who chants the holy name once without offenses. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says, then one doesn't even need initiation to chant the holy name purely. And one doesn't even need purushcharya, which is preparing for initiation. Srila Prabhupada defines preparing for initiation that we come and we hear the Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, we chant the holy name, we worship the deity, either worship directly or indirectly, offer prayers, all these things that we learn to do, practice sadhana bhakti. Prabhupada said, otherwise there's no question of initiation. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu seems to be indicating that, well, let me just chant the holy name purely. And certainly, that's possible for someone. No. Just like this Avadutta Brahman, as Tamaharprabhu pointed out the other day, that, he's all alone, no association, learning from the elements, learning from prostitutes, and learning from snakes and wasps, and so, why do I need to be, initiated? But these are very rare cases, and then Srila Prabhupada takes great care to give so many quotes from Jiva Goswami, from Sanatana Goswami, from different shastras, why one must take initiation, because without worshipping the deity, of course we're talking about second initiation, and even more important, take first initiation, Harinam Diksha, and then worshipping the, because by worshipping the deity one becomes purified, and by that purification one becomes qualified to chant the holy name once, which means without offenses. Of course, Satyaraj Khan, later, next year, he asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, can you remind me who is a Vaishnava? And then he goes a little deeper. First he defines the neophyte. And of course, it's interesting that the definition of a neophyte devotee is one who has chanted the holy name once without offenses. Otherwise, you have to be at least on the platform of a jamya, at the end, not the beginning. And then he says, what is a Vaishnava? And then he says, one who is always chanting the holy name. Otherwise, the Madhyamadikari. And then the next year, he says, can you tell me again who is a Vaishnava? And he says, one who by seeing him, one chants the holy name, the Uttamadikari, just by seeing him. It's like Srila Prabhupada once, he was, did a interview, and the interviewer was not very favorable, especially when they had a seat for Prabhupada, and the devotees ran in at the last minute, took out the seat and brought the Vyasa-san, And he was like, but after he heard from Prabhupada, he had a few challenging questions, and after he heard from Prabhupada, he said, anytime you want, you can come back here. Just by seeing Prabhupada, just by hearing a few words from Srila Prabhupada, he was so purified that actually in Mexico, Prabhupada gave this evening program, midnight, after preaching all day long. Then they came back, and Prabhupada hadn't even eaten. He just had a little fruit the whole day. And then Chitsukananda Prabhu said, Prabhupada, I shouldn't ask you this, but I'm going to, there's a program tonight on television. It was very late, and Prabhupada, you haven't eaten. And Prabhupada said, little puris and milk. No, that is okay. He said, today we will preach, tomorrow we can eat. And so he went to the program, and the man received him, and after the program, Chitsukananda Prabhu saw him, was sitting like this, with his head in his hands, and he thought, wow, maybe he was disturbed, I better talk to him. So something wrong? And he said, he was the most wonderful person I've ever met in my life. He was crying, after interviewing. Anyway, that's another, I'm straying a little bit here from the subject matter. So the point is, buddhi-upashrittaha. So we take shelter of intelligence after we use the intelligence properly to accept a spiritual master. We accept the Diksha Guru, and then we can, of course, here in this purport, these different elements and entities are identified as Shiksha Gurus, but they cannot be understood in that way unless there is Satguru, unless there is the initiating spiritual master and subsequent, in many cases, subsequent, especially in our movement, because, at least up to this point, usually the spiritual master whizzes in, initiates, gives a few classes, and whizzes out, And even before he whizzes in, somebody has been training that devotee for 1 or 2 years, or who knows how long, And after he whizzes out, then somebody continues to nurture them spiritually, So, in our movement, it's very common, although sometimes not well understood, that one Shiksha Guru, is in many cases the main guru. The main guru, or many Shiksha Gurus may be the main guru. We have to open up our consciousness to understand these things. And the Diksha Guru is the guru in whom one gives one the focus, the initial focus, the instruction, the contract with Krishna. And therefore one father, as Prabhupada said, one father and many uncles. But sometimes people get more benefit from the uncle than the father. Especially if it was a father like mine who, you know, was pretty heavy, you know. I was very happy to see the uncles, you know. My father used to use a razor belt, you know, for convincing me, and it was very convincing. Anyway, the point is that just like in Bhagavad Gita, intelligence is very important. Nasti buddhir ayuktasya na chayuktasya bhavata. That if one is not connected by one's intelligence to Krishna or to Krishna consciousness, and na cha bhavayata shantir, then it's not real intelligence. And without real intelligence, one cannot have peace. Ashantasya kutam sukha. And without peace, there can be no happiness. So intelligence is an important ingredient to be happy. And this is what he's emphasizing here, you know, that I have understood by them, and therefore I can be in this peaceful condition. You know. I can I can, you know, be different. Because really what Jadu Maharaj is saying is you aren't following the Varnashram system. Just like Krishna tells Uddhava that if one is not satiated by one's fruitive activities, and if one hasn't awakened the desire to hear and chant, then one has to follow the prescribed rules and regulations. So Yadu was saying he's not following any rules and regulations. He's wandering around, you know, he appears to be, you know, ignorant to the proper behavior that one would expect of a citizen. Otherwise he's a, you know, avaduta, or, you know, I heard one of our managers saying that some of these Brahmins are like anarchists, you know? And they are, you know. These sadhus, like, he's an anarchist, you know. He doesn't follow any, you know, he doesn't have a passport, he doesn't follow any king, you know. But he's a positive anarchist who gives he doesn't train people to be anarchists, he trains people to follow. You know? But he himself is following a higher cause, so he's not really an anarchist, but he's may be seen to be that way. So, Yadu Maharaj, but he's the king, he has to make sure all the Brahmins are behaving properly. Srila Prabhupada says that that's the king's duty. Even he has to make sure the Brahmins are performing yajna, they're doing the proper things, not that they can just do what they want. You know? Sometimes I was on the sannyas ministry, and we had that concern sometimes about certain sannyasis. They just wander, seems without a real mission. You know? So the proper use of intelligence, you know, this is a very important thing. Duryodhana, in the beginning, in the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita, he has great intelligence, but how is he using his intelligence? You know, warning Dronacharya, be careful. You taught this person, just that you taught him how to kill you. No, otherwise he's thinking in political terms, and Dronacharya is thinking in spiritual terms. Whatever he does, it's my duty to teach him. And Arjuna, his intelligence was covered by what apparently would be whatever, you know, you tell anybody nowadays about Bhagavad Gita, and they think, what's wrong with Krishna? No. That Arjuna, he wants peace. No. He wants to settle things, he wants peace. Of course, they don't know that Krishna tried to do that so many times. But the point is that Arjuna, having a desire which appears to be, by normal standards, no, that this is, you know, he wants peace, he doesn't want to fight, and he's got it right. Why, here's this war god again, you know? We saw him in the Bible, in the Quran. Here he is again, you know, stirring up trouble. You know? So, therefore, we don't believe in God. So, people like that would side with Arjuna's initial response. But his intelligence was covered. And in the 10th chapter, Arjuna says, now, Krishna, my intelligence is clear. And at the very end, he says, now I'm ready to fight because I've understood what is proper and what is improper. No. So, there are so many examples. But the point is that one first has to take initiation. And tadviganartam saguru eva bigachet samit pani shrotiyam ramanishtam. And one has to approach the spiritual master with samitpani, with the ingredients, otherwise with the right attitude of submission. And then that jigyasu shreya uttamam, as it says later on here in the Bhagavatam, that jigyasu shreya uttamam, one should be very anxious to learn about the ultimate purpose in life, and one should be very determined to supply this, to otherwise to be humbly, to offer humble service to the spiritual master. Then it is required. Then this teaching comes into play. Then it's very important that one uses one's intelligence and doesn't follow mechanically or doesn't follow blindly. No? But one has to take those teachings of Sri Guru and Sri Vaishnava, Hari Guru, Vaishnava Bhagavati Gita, these five sources which Sri Narottam Das Thakur has given us. No? Five sources of inspiration, Guru, Shastra, Sadhu, and you taking those instructions, then understand how to apply Krishna consciousness properly. No? And this is, then Yukta Vairagya, the real Yukta Vairagyam, begins, and one can, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, this is the art of yoga. The art of yoga means learning how to take one's body, mind, and words, and everything, and use them properly in Krishna's service. So I thought of many other things to say, but I think we're running out of time. So I'll stop here. Any question, any comment?
A comment. I really appreciate your class today, and such a clear understanding of not only the importance of Diksha, but also the understandings of the relationship between Diksha and Shiksha Gurus, as we're seeing exemplified in these verses. So really, really appreciate the clarity that you brought today. And I also just want to make a small request, mm-hmm. and that request is that you definitely make a point to visit us in Ratchu at least once a year. So we hope you can always come back.
Well, I have to take permission from in my zone. They always say I'm not there enough. So no. So anyway, but Jamastami Prabhu is trying to rope me in also. So he's very influential because he's such a humble devotee.
And it seems like Prabhupada proved of that, but on the other hand, the same what you're saying, that sometimes it might appear that sannyasis travel without a mission. Is that something that is considered to be obsolete or not really the best thing, or what? Sannyasis should have a particular place where they, you know, try to develop an area or something like that? Is that a general idea now?
Well, the idea is that they should all be serving this mission. You know? And sometimes we see, being on the sannyas committee, we analyze all the different sannyasis, and Just like Srila Prabhupada wrote a letter to Vishujanaswami. He said, so you should travel in this area and open 10 centers and then travel to each one of them, inspiring the devotees. And again and again, Srila Prabhupada, just like he wrote the famous letter to Satsarup Maharaj, he said, not that sannyasi means that you don't do something practical. That preaching, not that you just preaching, but also just as I am doing, going to the bank, preaching, going to the bank, doing management. So it's not that every sannyasi has to manage something. And probably it would be better if many of them didn't manage something. But like myself, they should be part of, they should be integrated into the mission that we're, Prabhupada set up a GBC to give direction. So when somebody is just totally independent, and we have some of those, totally independent of the GBC, they're not really contributing. I mean, they may be contributing in some small way, but they could contribute in a very much more meaningful way. No. So certainly we want, Prabhupada said, there's so many statements, he said sannyasi should travel all over the world. But we have a few that travel all over the world but don't seem to accomplish very much. And actually sometimes they're, it's like when they're leaving, they're saying, well, it's not like, when are you coming back? There's no question. If there's no question like that, of course, sometimes people ask me when I first arrive, when are you leaving? So I think, I get the hint, okay. Maybe they carried something over. But anyway, point is that they should just be part of the mission. That's our humble request to our wonderful sannyasi. I mean, they're all wonderful devotees, but sometimes one gets, stuck in what has been coined as the Bankat circuit. And you get the Bankat circuit and you just get stuck just going from one place. Now give a class and then all day long, people wonder, what happened? Where is he? What's he doing? And so if there's no meaningful preaching, counseling, seminar, something going on that really is contributing to that yatra, then the yatra may not be so enthused to have that sannyasi come again. That's the point. Jamastami Prabhu. He was first.
This may be too involved a question, but it's very relevant to what you're presenting. This is from the Nectar of Instruction, text 4. Text 5. The process by which a devotee becomes attached to Krishna is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. I'll skip the Sanskrit, the Sanskrit or Bengali. Here's the translation. The time of initiation, when a devotee fully surrenders to the service of the Lord, Krishna accepts him to be as good as himself. Then Prabhupada continues, Diksha or spiritual initiation is explained in the Bhakti Sandarbha Yiva Goswami. Skip the Sanskrit. By Diksha, one gradually becomes disinterested in material enjoyment and gradually becomes interested in spiritual life. By describing that it's a process, which is unique because generally speaking, the process by which a devotee becomes attached to Krishna is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And it says, at the time of initiation, the devotee fully surrenders to the service of the Lord, Krishna accepts him to be as good as himself. So it's a process, and can be a little confusing because generally speaking, we think of it as an event. We do the fire sacrifice and like that. And then to kind of further complicate the situation or the understanding, Krishna accepts him to be as good as himself. Now, that platform, being able to exchange with Krishna isn't what the Kanishtha is able to do. to kind of be on that platform of loving and exchange. It's something that takes place much further on down the road, maybe in the process. So, I'm just wondering if maybe I've said too much and asked a complicated question with a lot of time.
Well, I can I could just say that we can see that Srila Prabhupada expected more of us than most of us are able to give. When you look at the qualifications that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives to Sanatana Goswami for initiation, which of course generally means you know, Upanaya Diksha, that, you know, he says, you must, the disciple must understand, Prabhupada says, must understand he's not this body, you know, so many things that most of us would have never gotten initiated if we were, you know. So what I see by that is that, because Srila Prabhupada in another place in Chaitanya Charitamrita says that as soon as one chants the holy name, then, you know, and follows the instructions of the spiritual master, he is a pure devotee. So I see it like that, that this is what Srila Prabhupada expected in initiation. He's defining what real initiation should be. At that point, I surrender, just like Jagai and Madai were instructed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. From this point on, no more nonsense. No. And then you will be cleansed of all sins. And they did. They became, you know, so their devotional service was so amazing that Yamaraj, when he saw it, he fainted. You know, he couldn't believe. And so, you know, that initiation, Prabhupada is emphasizing, initiation really means that from this point on, I'm going to strictly follow the orders and instructions of the spiritual master. And therefore, while I'm doing that, I'm a pure devotee. Now, of course, if we take into account Kali Yuga and its effects, we can see that sometimes there's a gap between that initiation. No, but the key word there is surrender. No, as long as one remains surrendered, then one can be on that platform of exchange. But that exchange is taking place on the neophyte platform through the instructions of the spiritual master. No, and following those instructions. That's how I understand that. Without getting into a complex. I saw his hand first. Of course, maybe I should be looking. Oh, I'm not. No.
This way? Okay. I'm not asking this question facetiously or politically, but actually I do have a desire to know this, is that gurus may be on different levels. Should a disciple who accepts a guru just wholeheartedly surrender to the guru no matter what level they're on, or if the guru even admits, I'm not on the highest level, should they serve the guru according to what level they can ascertain the guru is on?
One has to see the guru as God himself. So if one accepts a Kanishtha guru, as in that same purport there, or one accepts a Madhyam guru, then as Prabhupada said, one can advance up to the point where the guru has advanced. So, but that, you know, if that disciple, of course this gets into another subject matter, is that one should carefully study the guru, you know, not just ceremonially take initiation, which is a big subject matter, which sometimes doesn't happen. And then one may have a guru who may be on, well, hopefully at least on the Madhyam platform. You know? I mean, it depends on how you define a Madhyam Adhikari. If you do it by the strictest definition, we're all out of luck. And if you go by, you know, Srila Prabhupada's more liberal definitions, you know, then most of us would qualify those serious devotees who continue their Krishna consciousness. Meaning that one takes diksha and one serves seriously. You know, that's in that particular verse, that's the definition. You know. So, yes, he should surrender to the guru. You know.
I mean, completely, should they just put their all in all into it?
Well, because the guru may be a sadhaka, then he's surrendering to the parampara through the guru. And Srila Prabhupada is without a doubt, the Uttamadhikari that we're all surrendering to in this movement, the predominant Shiksha Guru, the founder Acharya, and therefore, you know, whatever he may at some point, just like some people, you know, when kids, when they're growing up, they see their parents practically as demigods, you know. I'm not talking about necessarily in our movement because they may be demigods, but hopefully. But as they grow up, they say, wait a minute, you know. They hear a few stories about their father and their mother, and you know, see there may be a little Maya there. You know? So, and in case of non-devotee, they see a lot of Maya there, and they're not so idolized as before. You know? So that may happen if the guru is a Kanishta or even a Madhyamadhikari, and on the lower level of Madhyam, they may see some discrepancy, but they still have to follow the guru and accept the guru as good as God if he's not deviating from devotional service. And then whatever they may need to nurture their you know, their Krishna consciousness is they're going to find in the founder Acharya and other advanced devotees who they may take shiksha from. Just like, you know, Ramanujacharya, his guru, what was his guru's name? His initiating guru? Mahapurna. But he sent him to Goshtyapurna to get to learn about chanting the holy name. No? So he sent him to different gurus because he felt they were expert in different areas. So it's not that we should expect, as Srila Prabhupada said, guru is not omniscient. No? Guru is servant of Krishna. So if the guru is a servant, just like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, for a reason, his father requested him to take shelter of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, who was not a great intellectual, not a great exponent of all the details of, you know, philosophical details, but he was a pure devotee absorbed in chanting the holy name. So at least the guru should have that qualification. Surrender to the holy name, surrender to the spiritual master. Know, strict follower of Srila Prabhupada. Know. And then whatever may be, whatever the disciple may need, the guru should also be humble enough to direct the disciple. Know. Okay, well, you know, why don't you ask so and so, such and such, or why don't you, if you need that, you should go to such and such a place and get your training. Know. That's how I see it.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
I'm sorry, but I don't understand what we're to learn from the wasp, how it was described there.
Well, we'll get into that later.
Oh, they will. I thought this was the
preview, you know. Then you get the full length. But
okay.
What we can learn is that the wasp captures an insect, you know. I mean, apparently I never studied wasps, you know, but I guess I should watch Discovery Channel. And, you know, apparently, like a spider and a wasp, they trap the insect, but they don't kill the insect immediately. So the insect is in fear, meditating on the wasp, and his consciousness acquires the quality, you know, or the qualities of the wasp. And then he becomes a wasp in the next life. So the idea is that, you know, if you meditate on someone who is Krishna conscious, you know, because they're teaching you, then you become Krishna conscious and you evolve. But if you meditate on someone who's wasp-like, Hiranyakashipu, etc., you know, then you become, you get a wasp-like birth in the next lifetime. You know. So otherwise, you know, it depends on how our consciousness sees things. Just like this Brahmin, it's the same example, I think that's why it was mentioned right away. This Brahmin, by using his intelligence and understanding with the background of Krishna consciousness, he could understand everything properly. His meditation led him to the proper conclusion. But if you just meditate on those things by Discovery Channel, you know, or other means, you know, then you come to the improper conclusion. No. That's how I understand the wasp. Yes, I guess I don't want to violate the schedule here, but
it's super wonderful class. I was contemplating that we have quite a few devotees to take our role as guru, but somehow it seems like it's not happening, and sometimes I wonder, well, how does the process work? I mean, have they have to be encouraged, or I mean, or do you have to come up and say, well, I'm ready? Or, I mean, but in this community, there's quite a few very, very qualified persons. What's your thought on this?
My thought is that if one is a sadhaka, then they have to continue to advance, no? And if one is a siddha purusha, then they just teach, no? The problem is when one is a sadhaka and thinks he's a siddha purusha, no? No? That's the problem. That creates a problem. But if one is a sadhaka and thinks that I am a servant of the servant of the Vaishnava, then he can perform his duty properly. No? So on that note, we'll end here. Thank you all very much for your attention and for your association.